And good morning. You're tuned into KBBI Homer, AM 890. It is 9:02. It is time for our regular Thursday morning COVID brief. I have news director Jay Barrett on the line. Jay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Josh. How are you this morning?
Wonderful. And yourself?
Well, not too darn bad.
Excellent. We're going to go down the line here and see if everybody's connected. Dorotha, can you hear me? Nope.
Maybe. I can. Good morning, everybody.
Excellent. We've got there. And let's see. Jenny on line four. Do you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wonderful.
How do I come out?
Sounds good. And Doug on line six.
How you doing?
All right. We got Doug. And I have Carrie on mic three here in the studio. Carrie, can you hear everybody?
Yes, I can. And good morning.
Wonderful. All right, Jay, it's all yours. Take it away.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Jay Barrett here. I'm sitting in for Kathleen Gustafson, who is taking some well-deserved time off this week and next week. So hopefully I can get through this. You know, I've spent my life live on the air, on the radio, and this is only the second time since I've been at KBBI that I'm going live on the air. So it's if I'm a little rusty, please just bear with me. You know, we're talking about COVID brief, where we go down with our list of folks from the city's Unified Command, Emergency Operations Center. But today we also have two folks from the school district, and that's important coming up because next week students are going to be going back to school in greater numbers. We have Douglas Wachlosky, the principal at Homer High School, and Carrie Denderant, the principal at Homer Middle School. How are you both this morning?
We're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing great and excited to be coming back next week with our students.
Yeah, well, also, Carrie, thanks for coming into the studio this morning. I'm sorry I ran out of phone apps to hand out for everybody to get online here this morning. Tell me about the preparations you're making for next Monday. What happens next Monday that is different than what's happened, well, most of the school year?
Well, I can go ahead and get started and can share with what we're doing specifically at Homer Middle School. Our district decided that we were going to have the opportunity to bring back our secondary students, which is 7 through 12, into the building and gave the option of doing an alternating A and B schedule. At Homer Middle School, we have about 50% of our students who are attending in person on the A days, while our B population will be having direct access to their teachers remotely. On Tuesday, we will be switching where our A students will be remotely learning from home and our B students will be in person. On Wednesdays, all of our students will be 100% remote. And Thursday, we will have our A population in person, our B students remotely. And Friday, our B students will be in person and our A students will be remotely. What we have done is we have created consistent cohorts to help make sure that we can mitigate any spread. So our cohort specifically, all of those students will be traveling in the same pods together, so they will not be intermixing with other students. And so our cohorts are the smallest, I believe, is 8. The largest cohort is 16. And so those students will be traveling together for all 6 periods, attending the same lunch periods, the same enrichment periods. So, but the most important thing that we found is that we are making sure that our students will have access to their teachers every single day. And we feel that that was really important. The biggest change that we made at Homer Middle School is we changed from a 1-3-5-2-4-6 block every other day to our students have going back to a traditional 6 period day. And so that definitely will be an adjustment, but we just felt it was really important for those students to have access to their teachers every day, whether it is in person or remote. So those are the big changes that we are making.
Oh, I see. You know, I guess I misunderstood when I first heard that they were going back to classes 2 days a week. You're splitting them in half, and you're using 4 days a week to distribute them, and then 1 day a week everybody is remote.
And that is correct. And we have identified about 25 of our students who've really struggled with the remote. So since about the middle of December, about 25 of our students have been coming in person and working independently in the library and in a different room with support from our paraprofessionals. So we have been able to provide some support for those students as well.
You know, that's interesting. On this week's coffee table with Kathleen Gustafson, she spoke with some teachers, and one from Mountain View Elementary up in Kenai mentioned that remote learning had actually helped some students. Do you find that to be a thing here? Did that remote learning just seems to click better with others, some students than others?
I think it's the same for student learners as well as adult learners. There are some people who can who really thrive with that online learning and who may like to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's the best time for their learning. We have other people that like to be on a structured system, and then other people who may like to, you know, have their go to their own schedule. And so I think it's really variant upon the different type of student learner or adult learner, their brain and kind of how they work, because some of us are morning people and some of us are evening people. So I think it just depends, but I think some people really need that structure and just in that support from the, getting the probing and the prodding from an adult just to say, what are you doing, and getting on task. And so I think it just really depends on the type of learner.
And I think the gist of the story that was on the that the teacher related was that they've discovered, you know, better learning ways for some students because of you know how things have had to have been during the pandemic here, and you know, and we'll be able to use that going forward.
Absolutely. And I think the other piece too that John O'Brien and our school board really wanted to make sure that we were focused on is academics is just one part of our students and schooling. And the other part of it is, you know, having and building those relationships with others and collaboration with other students, collaboration with adults, and being able to have conversations. And so I think while some students may thrive in that remote setting, we also understand that we as human beings need to have that personal touch. And so I think that also is a piece of it, is why it's so important for us to be able to get our students back in school.
Mm-hmm. Let me turn to Doug, Douglas Wachlowski, the principal at Homer High School. What's changing there? How are you folks bringing students back into the building?
Yeah, we're doing things a little bit differently, and we kind of have to. We're quite a bit different than the middle school. We have so many other things going on. We looked at all the different options, including what the middle school was doing, and there was just no way within our schedule. We'd have to totally redo our schedule, and then if we were able to come back full 100%, we just couldn't do, you know, we wanted to make things as simple and easy for our students. So we're coming back, we're doing A and B weeks. We're basically keeping our same schedule, and students in the A group will come back. They'll be back for 5 days in a row, and then they'll have the next week off. You know, it's not off from school. They still will be doing stuff online and working with their teachers on the week that we're off. But and the other thing that's going to be happening is that sports will be starting on the 11th, which is another whole list of mitigation issues that we have to come up with. But basically, we're doing A and B weeks. So starting on the 11th, students with the last name L through Z will be starting, and then on the 19th, A through K will be coming in. And we're doing the same thing as a middle school, as far as we have about 20 students who are at risk who will be coming in every day.
Wow. Which sports?
Right now, I believe cross-country skiing, they're still in conditioning. It'll be basketball and hockey and cheerleading.
Wow. The district has all sorts of mitigation for those athletes, student athletes, and for spectators, I imagine.
Correct. There's quite a few things that we're doing differently, but the big one is if they want to participate in sports, even when they're out on the court playing the game, they're going to have to wear a mask. We're going to definitely try to keep them in cohorts where they can. So, for example, we're not going to be mixing varsity and JV and C teams. Spectators right now, each player will get two spectators in the gym for their game. So, for example, if a JV player, they can have their two spectators in the gym. When their game is done, those spectators will be asked to leave, and then the varsity spectators will be allowed in the gym. So it'll be very limited. Of course, we'll stream it. Everything will be streamed, so the public can still see it.
That'll be great. Where do we find that?
That's on our Facebook page and on our webpage. It's on our sports webpage. But we post that before most games on our Facebook page.
Oh, wow. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. What are you hearing mostly from parents during the break and here in the run-up to return to classes? What questions are you getting most often from folks?
Well, what I'm hearing in general is that most people are excited that their kids could be in there. The biggest question that we've gotten so far is, you know, when we split up groups, is can they switch groups and because they want to be with their friends? And right now we can't accommodate that. Part of the point of splitting them up like this is to make sure that each class has half the number of students in it so that we can spread them out 6 feet apart. So if it gets a little bit unbalanced and we have too many students in a classroom, then we can't do that. That's also one of our mitigation plans. You know, part of the reason why we're only bringing in half the students at a time is so we have that extra room. So that seems to be the biggest question. We do know that there may be some people who this doesn't work 100% with for issues, something that's happening with their family. You know, have them call us at the front office and we'll try to help you out and make accommodations if we can. We know this is going to be a little bit messy, but I'm excited to have students in the building, and I think most people understand that for most students, it's important that they be in a face-to-face setting.
Mm-hmm. You know, a question just popped into my head here. I'm not sure you're the person to ask, but I'm going to try anyway. I know that there's, even in a non-pandemic year, there are people who homeschool their children, but those students still have interactions with schools for different purposes, extracurricular activities, I imagine. Could you are you able to tell me anything about how homeschoolers are doing in comparison or in relation to home or high school, I guess?
As far as how they're doing overall, I don't know. I do know that we are accommodating homeschoolers. They're allowed, you know, people in connections are allowed to take two classes at home or high school. We are accommodating them. They may not be able to come into the building, again, depending on how many people we have in the classroom, but they still are, they have the opportunity to zoom in and participate fully in the classes.
What about athletics, student athletics?
It's the same thing with athletics. Again, this is where it gets a little bit more messy with the high school than the middle school because, you know, we're trying to keep these two groups apart, you know, cohorts like Carrie was talking about. But then when you're talking about sports and some of these other things, then it gets a little bit more messy. So the students who don't have class on 1 week but they have sports will be allowed in, but we're going to be asking them not to come into the building until after 4 o'clock to try to keep some separation between those. So, and homeschool connections students are allowed to participate in sports.
Excellent. A question either for you or for Carrie. Is there anything you would like to say to parents today who are fixing to send their kids back to school on Monday?
So this is Carrie. I think the biggest thing is for parents to understand, and I know that at Homer Middle School we've had informal principal parent counselor talks, and I know that Mr. Wisklowski also has had talks with parents, and I think the biggest thing for everybody to understand is we are all in this together. We are doing the best that we can with the Homer community based on the circumstances, and if you're really struggling, if you need something, if you have questions, if you have clarifications, it's best to come to us directly. I'm finding, you know, different rumors that are out there and people are making speculations. And so what we're just really saying is we are going to do the best we can for all of the students in the Homer community, all of the students in our school district as well as the state. And we just want to work together. We understand your frustrations. We too have families of our own. We too are in very similar situations. And so I think the biggest thing is, you know, we just ask that you're patient. Ask for assistance if you're needing assistance, or if you know that there's somebody else out there that's struggling, please let us know, and we're going to be doing the best that we possibly can. But, you know, the just biggest thing is Homer's always been known that we work together and we watch out for one another, and we are definitely in this together. And if there's something that you feel that you would like to share, or something that you feel could be done differently or make things some easier, please, please, please reach out and talk with us, and that's what we're all here for.
Yes, and I'll second that. That's one thing I think that a lot of parents don't realize, especially when they're at home, that communication part has been difficult because we're at home. But in so many cases, if parents have things that they need help with, we have the resources and the skills to help you out if you reach out to us. We don't always know what's going on, but please reach out to us. We will help out if we can, no doubt about that. Thanks for bringing that up, Carrie.
And I want to thank Carrie Dendrant, the Homer Middle School principal, and Douglas McCloskey, the Homer High School principal, for joining us. I'm going to shift gears here and turn to Dorotha, but I want to thank you two for joining us. You're welcome to hang on and pipe up if you have something interesting to add. Or you can head off to your students, but I want to thank you in either case.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Yep, and today, just as a reminder, we do have a two-hour delay in the Southern Peninsula, so all of our students are shifting gears, whether it's sleeping in a little bit this morning. We're not really sure, so I think Doug and I are able to be here for the rest of the session today.
Oh, terrific, terrific. You know, I'm working from home, and I rarely get out on the streets, so I imagine they're slippery this morning. So thanks for that roads report. let's turn to Dorotha Ferraro. She is with South Peninsula Hospital. Dorotha, how are you this morning?
I am doing great. Thank you. And that was a great report from the schools. Appreciate that as a parent of a child in the school district. Thank you for all the hard work you're doing.
Oh, let me ask you your experience as a parent. How is your experience with remote learning and going back now been for you and your kid?
Oh, so far we're working it out pretty great and doing the best with the situation at hand, but super excited for next week. My child is really enjoys being in the school environment, so looking forward to that, and she's an athlete as well, so looking forward to the return of safe sports.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, let me ask you about vaccines and vaccine distribution. You know, I got a really good question in the email this week, and it brought up a really good point about local healthcare providers, everything sort of being lumped on them, the taking care of the ill, the testing, and now the vaccine administering. And the question was, you know, why isn't the state, you know, bringing out the National Guard to help with this? This really seems like the time to, you know, hit the gas on getting these vaccinations out. How is distribution going?
Well, that's an interesting idea. However, I will remind everybody that in such a small state, everybody wears multiple hats. So when you turn to certain groups, they are many of the same faces who were in the last group. So we will rely on each other to get through this very exciting situation. I'll tell you, when you look at what's happening in the other states throughout the nation and throughout the world, we are pretty fortunate that we not only have in our state vaccine availability, but we have directive from the state level to get it out to certain groups. In this case, the upcoming group is the seniors 65 and over. I want to echo what Carrie said, that we are a community that relies on each other and we pull together to get things done. And that's what we will be doing for the next phase, is we will be relying on each other. So let's talk about the current phase of vaccines. So today, as I speak, we are administering 214 Pfizer doses as round two to healthcare in the hospital setting. After that is finished today, tomorrow and Saturday, we are administering another 100 to 150 max vaccines, Moderna vaccines, to the rest of the hospital frontline, as well as the expanded, it's called phase 1A tier 3, but anyway, it's just the expanded healthcare group. Those that are doing healthcare, they have direct patient contact, they have contact with infectious materials, they provide essential services in a setting that cannot be offered remotely or through telework, and they provide a service that can't be postponed without detrimental impact to a patient's health. So that group we're doing tomorrow and Saturday by appointment, and that link is on the hospital website. Now, the next group, and that starts next week, the next group for vaccines is the senior population, 65 and over. And we are thrilled to work as a community and set up a community mass dispensing pod at the end of the week next week to be able to administer those vaccines. I am not able to give specifics right now because we are still waiting for the state to tell us how many doses that we will receive. But our goal is that we will have a two-day mass vaccination event the end of the week next week to be able to do as many as possible. So all
and
I
those
can
are
say
seniors.
Is that is seniors 65 and up. And there are no appointments at this moment available. My apologies, but it would be really irresponsible to set appointments when we do not yet know how many doses the state is sending to us. So as soon as the state guarantees a shipment, then we will be able to verify the days and the number of appointments, and we will have that link on the website. I will put that on radio. I will put that on sandwich board signs. I will plaster the town with emails and announcements the minute that that link is available for setting your appointment. But until then, I just ask you for your patience, because we cannot open appointments until we know how many doses that we have to make available. In the meantime, we're still working on the logistics for it, and the city, Chief Kirko is our incident commander, and we are working on filling all the slots for staffing what we hope will be a two-day event that will be able to reach everybody who wants it. Crossing our fingers.
Oh, that's terrific. Do you have any idea, any estimate of how long, at the rate we're going, how long it will take to finish up vaccinations? Are we looking at the middle of the year, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months?
Oh, that's a loaded question there, Jay, because so much of it is it's a variable based on all kinds of things, weather, days of the week that things get announced, whether the vaccine advisory group has the next tier ready when the current tier ends. So there's just so many variables. I like, just using the seniors as an example, we have 2,700 seniors on the Southern Peninsula, and of those, how many are really here right now because of the holidays and winter time and everything? Maybe you're looking at 2,000 or so. And then you have a group that really, they're not interested in the vaccine. And you have another group that wants to wait until their friends take it and or others take it. So, we might be talking about 1,000 or so that want to receive it in this round. And so our dream or hope is that if we can set up a multi-day event, we would be able to do those 2,000 in those we'd be able to do 1,000 in a 2-day setting. So it just really comes down to how much manpower we have when a tier is approved and how many vaccines we get based on that tier's announcement. Many moving parts, and I do think it's going to go faster in Alaska than you will see it going in the higher population areas.
Oh, sure. How is the hospital staff doing? You know, the staff that works with all of this, and you know, the folks who have to support them, and you know, all the new protocols. How are people doing there?
Well, I would say the hospital staff has all the protocols down pretty darn good. We've been really fortunate that there's been really no transmission of COVID here at the hospital from employee to patient. There's been very few risk events or known exposure events. Right now, we don't have any staff out related to COVID. So right now we're in a pretty good setting. The hospital is very busy this week. It's not really related to COVID, but the inpatient is very busy. We're seeing many people relying on healthcare right now, and that's pretty common in the winter months. But as far as the impact of COVID right now, a lot of the focus is just on vaccines. We were able to, using the CARES Act funding, we were able to bring on some extra staff to help us continue with testing as well as rolling out vaccines. So right at this moment, and it always changes pretty quickly, but right at this moment, we're doing pretty good. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you bet. Here's a question we got called in. That's what all the beeps were. I was wondering what was beeping, but now I find out it's messages to me. A question is, with the COVID numbers falling, declining right now, if the numbers in the South Peninsula fall into yellow alert, how long will it take to shift everyone back to school? I guess that might be for our principals, perhaps.
This is Carrie, and I can go ahead and answer that question. We actually had a district administrator meeting on Wednesday to look at what's going to be happening as we're shifting down to the yellow. And the most important thing that John O'Brien, our superintendent, is stating is that we are going to be following what are the trends versus necessarily what the daily numbers are going to be. Our goal, of course, is to get all of our students, all primary and secondary students, back in the buildings face-to-face 100%. And so as soon as that is safe for us to move forward with, we are going to be doing that. But the one thing that we've heard from parents is we don't want one day that we're yellow, one day we're red, one day we're yellow, one day we're red. We want to make sure that we can maintain consistency. And so that's probably the most important piece as we're moving forward, is as we look at those trends, if we go back into the yellow, we will ensure that if we can consistently stay with those trends decreasing to be able to come back in the school. But we don't want that shift from day to day or week to week. So as soon as we can possibly move back into that face-to-face, definitely our superintendent is moving forward with that. I know some of the conversation in the Southern Peninsula is, you know, we might be in yellow on the 11th, and I think the key word there is might. We want to make sure that we can ensure for our families so they can plan appropriately. So we're not going to be taking it lightly, but definitely as soon as we can move all of our students back into the buildings, we're definitely going to do that.
Excellent. Douglas, do you have anything to add? No, we may have lost him.
Yeah, Jay, it looks like Doug has gone back to work.
All right. Question for Dorotha from caller. Somebody said that they run the state vaccine site, and their senior filling out the request form, and it says no appointments available. They're curious if somebody will call them after they fill out that form on the state vaccine site.
Yes, great question. So that is, we put that on there, like we added that little survey, if you will, just because of the volume, we were overwhelmed with phone calls, and the community really wanted what they felt was a wait list or to be heard. And so we started collecting names and emails or phone numbers, preferably emails, so that when the appointments become available, we will send to anybody who left an email address, we will send them a link. And that link will go to appointment setting module. But you do not have to have enrolled to access that. As soon as that link becomes available, I will put it on our website. I will put it on Facebook. I will announce to the community that that link is hot and ready. And we're even hoping to be able to help the seniors who don't have computers, to help them set up appointments. We're hoping that the COVID numbers stay low enough that our COVID station down where the testing site is will be able to man the phones and help those folks that don't have home technology set their appointments. And we're working with Chief Kirko to see if there are other resources in the community that will be able to help the senior group set appointments. The appointment setting will be very easy and familiar. It's the same software that we use for health fair, and all it does is collect your name, you pick your time, it collects your name and verifies your age, and boom, you're done. So it's super easy. It's not your standard health care kind of module. It's just the same one that the community's familiar with health fair. But still, if folks don't have the computer technology or they're, you know, not a good user of it, we're hoping to have systems in place to assist them. If there's any groups listening right now that they have somebody at a phone, that they can offer that to their population group. If you're like a volunteer group and you want to say to your volunteers that are 65 and over, hey, call that desk and we'll help you reserve. It's super easy, and we can help helpers get up to speed. But to just be clear, there are none available at the moment, and by leaving your name and email address, you're simply asking for an alert when they become available.
Okay. That's an important distinction. Dorothy, anything else from the hospital perspective today?
No, that's the vaccine update. Testing still remains available. That's a super important piece of information for the community and for community decisions. So if you have any symptom at all, don't hesitate to come get tested. It really, really helps in mitigating the spread, which then helps all things kind of return to normal. So the testing site is open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily, and there is no charge. And I also wanted to verify that on the vaccine, those will be free of charge as well.
Oh, thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Let me turn to Jenny Carroll, who's been patiently standing by for a half an hour now. Thank you so much, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What's new with the city as far as COVID goes? What's happening at City Hall?
Well, right now, all of our services are as they have been. The City Hall is closed. The doors are closed, but virtually via the phone and computer, all services from the city are being offered. And we are continuing in that safe red alert zone of trying to keep our critical infrastructure workers working. Just like the school is on split shifts, some of our departments are doing that as well, just to make sure that we can still provide services. And I know we're at the end of the half hour show here, and I just wanted to congratulate everyone in town who has chosen to wear a mask and social distance and keep their bubbles small, because that's allowing services to expand and open up a little bit in the schools. It's really exciting. And I wanted to let everyone know that daily growth rate of COVID transmission in the state over the past 3 weeks has been declining. However, just recently in the last week, that growth rate has flattened out, and we're seeing a little rise in positivity in testing to 5.16%. And it's just a little bit of a concern, like we're not out of the woods yet. We don't want to see that bump go higher. So I know that, you know, people were out over the holidays with family and friends, and low case counts might be, we might be thinking we can let our guard down. But I want to underscore again the importance of staying vigilant, even with the vaccine rolling out. Let's keep that curve low so that our healthcare workers do have the capacity. The city has the capacity to support these vaccine clinics that will help our whole community overall. Even though we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, we're not quite there yet, but we need to hold on and keep wearing masks and keep that social distancing going, because it really gives us an advantage going into this phase of vaccine distribution. So I want to thank everybody for helping us get here, and let's stay here.
Let me ask you, I don't know if there's a question for you or perhaps Dorotha, but once somebody's vaccinated, they're not off the hook, right? I mean, you should still wear a mask. You still have a second dose to get. You shouldn't be out acting like it's over once you get a vaccine, right?
Right. The vaccine is very effective. It's 95% effective. But that still leaves a 5% of the population that could still contract COVID-19 even with the vaccination.
And transmit.
So it's not perfect, but by comparison to many other vaccines, it's very, very effective. And so people are asked to continue the social distancing and mask wearing in that vaccination period until there's higher degree of vaccination across the community and more is known as we see the effectiveness of the transmission of the vaccine with transmission. So stick with the protocols.
Yeah. So on Tuesday night, the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly met in person, and they had the doors open in the assembly chambers up in Soldotna. Both of them were there. I think there are two who still teleconferenced in. What are the plans for the Homer City Council?
Right now, we don't have a date set for opening council chambers up again, but there is work being done currently as we speak on reconfiguring the council chambers to allow for better social distancing, protective plexiglass between council members and the dais there. So work is ongoing, and when the city feels it is safe, I'm sure they are excited to open the chambers up again and get back to a more sense of a normal. We have been seeing the community giving a lot more input and community public comment at the council meetings, which has been really wonderful, that are held over Zoom and that you all broadcast on KBBI. So we appreciate everyone being able to be flexible and move over to the Zoom platform, which has only gotten better as time has gone by. And we are excited to be able to open up, but we do not have a date set yet. There's still carpenters and technicians working in there to get everything set up for when we can open.
Oh, sure, sure. Here's a question for Dorotha from Claire. She asks, with vaccinations happening, is it still recommended to wear masks? And how long will we need to wear masks for?
As of right now, it is. They're still gathering research on basically transmission rates. As Jenny said, it's a very effective vaccine as far as preventing the person who gets it, preventing them then from becoming ill with coronavirus. But the unknown part is whether that person can transmit it to others. So I have no idea how long it'll take to get enough study and research done to know that answer. And it also takes a long time to research or to reach that 95% efficient rate. So you get the dose, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, you get the second one, depending on which company's vaccine you're using. And then it's another 14 days until you reach the 95% level. So just remember that it's not come get your vaccine and you're safe. You're still almost a month and a half away, depending on which vaccine you're getting, that you yourself have reduced risk then, the full value of the reduced risk.
Wow, excellent. Well, you know, for a half an hour program, we got 41 minutes out of it pretty easily here. I want to thank Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, Douglas Wachlowski, the Homer High School principal, and Carrie Nenderin, the Homer Middle School principal, who braved the roads and came down into the station herself. I want to thank you all for joining us here today. Story time is coming up at 10 o'clock, co-hosted this week by Josh, who may or may not have brought his banjo. I don't know. We'll have to hear from him and find out. But everyone, I want to thank you all, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to KBBI's regular Thursday morning COVID brief. I want to thank all of our guests for attending this morning.